All right, good morning. It is fantastic to be together. Let me invite you this morning to go ahead and, if you're able and can stand and maybe move around a little bit even, but I'd invite you to turn to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, the Jesus way may not be easy, but it is good. As you might imagine, as you might guess, that is kind of central to our passage today. Before we get to that, let me go ahead and dismiss the youngest among us. Thank you, Ruth. All right, so today we are continuing in Matthew 7. Continue, right? So we're up on the mountainside with Jesus. Right, his disciples, his Talmudim have gathered around, and we are up there with him, listening into his teachings. What amounts to, again, this invitation, right, inviting us into this whole other way of doing life and relationships. And today, we pick it up, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to drop down to verses 13 and 14. We'll read those, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get to work. 685, if you have a pew Bible, the words will be on that screen behind me. And so let's go ahead and get to it. It says, we read, Jesus teaches, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Let's pray. God, you are the God of the narrow way. And we give you thanks for this day, for this morning, for this gathering, and for your word that calls to us, your heart that welcomes us. And I ask that you would be present with us now as we lean into your word and your words, as we listen and we learn. Pray that you would lead us in this way, in this narrow path. Form in us hearts that are open to what it is you have for us today. Teach us the way that leads to life. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So, we all know this, but it needs to be said. Or at least we need to be reminded that Jesus did not speak or preach or teach in a vacuum. Right? The words that Jesus uses belong to a particular story. Words that capture and carry a world of understanding and meaning. Understanding and meaning, which is absolutely true of all of what Jesus teaches. It is equally true for us today in this particular passage we're looking at. And to kind of get at where we're going to go, I want to jump back again one more time. We can think back to last week. Remember the inclusio, beginning at Matthew 5 and 17. And that Matthew 5 and 17 verse is really sort of paramount because it leads into the rest of what the sermon teaches. And 5 and 17, remember, it begins, do not think, right? Do not think that I have come, he says, to abolish the law or the prophets, the Torah or the Nevi'im, right, what is shorthand for the Tanakh, the whole of the Old Testament to you and me. And Jesus says, do not think that I've come to do away with it, which leads naturally to, well, they must have been thinking that. They must have been thinking that in some way Jesus is coming and he's doing away with it all. Right, there was something in what he had to say that they were like, that's not what we've heard before. There's something different going on here. And so he makes it a real point to tell them, do not think I've come to change it all up. In fact, he says, no, I've come to plero, to fulfill. Again, it's that idea of to uncover, to reveal, to express the deeper understanding, right? The fuller intent, really to show God's heart. Keeping in mind the heart of God finds expression in and through the Torah, and it comes by way of his commands, mitzvot in the Hebrew. It comes by way of his, and that's why 5:18 and 19, following verse 17, 5:18 and 19, Jesus, he's basically saying something to the effect of, look, don't think that I'm doing away. Look, I'm not doing away with the Torah. I'm not doing away with the ancient teachings. I'm not doing away with the commands. Right, but here's what you got to understand: you've lost the plot line. Right, I want to get back to God's heart, and somewhere along the way, he's telling his followers, "You've lost the plot line. You've lost sight of the deeper heart of God that flows underneath his commands. You've lost hold of the deeper sort of reality, the deeper understanding of the good that God intended all along." And he's saying, I'm actually getting back to the heart, right? And so there's this bit of a paradigm shift, which is then why it leads to verse 20. He says, so look, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, it's like you're done for, right? You're not going to enter the kingdom. You're done for. But what we need to understand here, surpasses does not mean do more or do better, right? He's giving us a paradigm shift, right? He says the plot line has been lost. And because of that, right, it needs to be different. It's a different sort of righteousness altogether from the scholar David Wilkins. Again, righteousness in the preaching of Jesus is not a personal attainment of ethical purity, but a relational and covenantal righteousness, a heart-based righteousness that transcends mere outward behavior. It is a righteousness that is rooted in relationship with God, exemplified through love. And it's that relational, covenantal, heart-based love righteousness really that takes center stage. And you're welcome to go back and listen to the last several months, but it takes center stage, traveling all the way down through the end of chapter 5 into chapter 6 and chapter 7, and it lands here today at chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. And we know that in part because of word choice. The words that Jesus speaks, they were not random, but they flowed out from. This was the language of the Torah, right? The language of an ancient kind of worldview. And in Greek, that word is hodos. Hodos here is translated the road, not meaning asphalt or concrete. It does refer to distance, can refer to distance. But this is more, I think, it's more like the way or the path, as in we could say the path of life, one's conduct in life, right? It's this idea of the choices and the decisions I make and how I go. It's this idea of how I interact and do relationships, how I am in the world, right? Day by day, step by step. And so when Jesus says hodos, he is not only naming a reality, he is inviting a response, right? He's inviting us into the, which gate will we enter, right? Which path will we take? In other words, he's asking, how will we live? How will we conduct our lives, right? Again, day by day, step by step. He's inviting us into this choice. It's something that really flows out from the Torah, hodos being an echo of derech, which is the Hebrew. Derech is not just geography, but again, it's this idea of movement. It's this idea of movement, a path, a way. It's a way of being in the world. It's a way of conducting your life, of being human. And so when Jesus here speaks of hodos, right, of the way, he is tapping into something ancient. He is traveling all the way back, and we can think last week to Abraham's call. He's traveling back really to Abraham's call, not only, remember, to leave a land, but it's a call into a new way, right, into a new sort of path, which in Hebrew is the choice between Derek Tzadikim and Derek Reshaim, the way of the righteous or the way of righteousness, the way of the wicked or the way of wickedness. And it's that theme that we pick up all over the Torah, the Jesus backstory that is the Torah. In fact, it's all over the Tanakh, the whole of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy in chapter 30 in particular for this morning, what is Parsha Nitzavim? Deuteronomy 30, this is some of the final words of Moses. Verse 15, Moses, he's gathering the people together. They are nearing the end of their 40-year journey in the wilderness. And he stands before them. Nitzavim means standing. And here he stands before them, 30 and 15. See, I set before you today. And note first off here, it's a choice. All right, I set before you today life and good, death and evil. Two roads, two paths, two ways of being human, two ways of being in the world, doing life and relationships. He goes on, I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk, it says, in his ways, bidrahav in Hebrew, which is really a cousin of derech. It's again a language of movement, and so it says in his way, in his path. And then to keep, it says, his commands, mitzvotav in the Hebrew, mitzvotav. Noting in Hebrew, it's more than keeping rules. Mitzvotav is the possessive for mitzvot, which is commands. And so his commands here, and it's more than keeping rules. It is this idea, and I want us to get this, it is this idea of partnering with God in bringing good to the world. It is partnering with God in bringing good to the world. In fact, when someone does a good deed in the Jewish world, when someone does a good deed, it's called a mitzvah, right? Doing a mitzvah, doing a good deed. And that, Moses says, is what it means to choose life. We see this all throughout. Here's one more from Proverbs 4 and 18. It says, the path of the righteous is like the first light of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Right, again, we have two paths, two ways, two roads. We have Tzadikim and we have Reshaim. And not only in the written Torah, but in the oral Torah. From the Talmud, what is that written gathering up of the oral in Haggigah 2 and 1, it says there straight off, the way of the Torah, and this is a paraphrase, but it says the way of the Torah is a narrow path. The way of the Torah is a narrow path. It goes on one side is fire, on the other is icy snow. Veer too far either way, you are burned or frozen. And so the way of the Torah is a narrow path. And so when Jesus begins here, enter through the narrow gate, he's not necessarily giving us something new. Right, but think back to 5 and 17. He's uncovering, he's revealing, he's expressing, he's bringing to the surface, right, probably what is the most ancient invitation ever. Right, enter, Jesus says, right, through the narrow gate. He goes on, for wide is the gate and broad is the road, Derek Reshaim, that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road, Derek Zadokim. Right, the way of righteousness. What is a way of partnering with God to bring good to the world? Doing mitzvah. And that, Jesus says, that leads to life. And then he says, I think what is one of the craziest lines, he says, and only a few find it. And I don't know if that makes you kind of get a little tense. It does me a little bit. Like, what do you mean, Jesus? Like, only a few? Like a handful? Like, what are we talking? I can count them on two hands. What do you mean by a few here? But we need to be clear that this is not God shutting some people out, right? While reserving the room for, you know, the elite, the best of the best of the best, those of high status or some select group. Right? The narrow way, right? It's not narrow because God is exclusive. Instead, we need to think of the small, the narrow, the few, not as in who is allowed in or kept out, but as in, like Abraham, what do we need to leave behind? What do we have to leave behind? What must we leave behind? Because the whole sort of wide gate, the broad road, it has plenty of room. It's got all kinds of space for our pride, for our greed, all kinds of extra room for our bitterness and our resentments and our grudges, right? We can take all the bags we want, right? You've gone to a restaurant where it's all you can eat. Well, this is the road where you can bring all the bags you want, right? Your anger, your fear, bring your devaluing of others, bring your unforgiveness, right? It's broad and it's wide, right? It will take all your baggage, so bring it along, but not so the small gate and the narrow road, right? That requires a lighter travel. It requires we travel light, that we let go and we release, we surrender. Right? We lay down our pride and our greed. We let go of our bitterness and our anger and our resentments, our unforgiveness. We surrender. The narrow way, we could say the narrow way chooses not to draw a sword, but to turn the other cheek. The narrow way chooses not to repay with evil, but to overcome with good. The narrow way chooses not to seek revenge, but to pursue reconciliation. The narrow way chooses not to store up all my stuff, but to share it with those in need. The narrow way chooses not to grab hold of power and control, but to walk with open hands. Right, to give even when it costs you something, to bless even when you've been wounded, to love even when you really don't want to. That, Jesus says, is the narrow way. It's not the easy way, but it is the good way. And it is the way that leads to life. And I think maybe that's even why Paul, in his letter to those in Galatia, why he writes, let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not grow weary in doing mitzvah. Let's not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Right? It's acts of righteousness, doing mitzvah, partnering with God to bring good to the world. I think it's almost like Paul understood and got what Jesus was after. Right? Again, it's not the easy way, but it is the good way. And it is the way, Jesus says, that leads to life. And I don't know about you, but maybe this is today where that invitation meets you and me. Right there in the midst of that space, wherever you find yourself today. And so as we have a few minutes, I want to invite us to sit together in some stillness. I want to throw out a few questions for us to consider, and then I would like to invite us at the beginning just to sit a few minutes just in the stillness and allow us to kind of reflect. And then if the Lord would have something He's laid on your heart that's to share with the group, the microphone is available. Which road am I walking? Which road am I walking right now? And to get at that, we can think about that situation, that setting, that connection, that encounter, that struggle, that temptation, that relationship. It's almost like fill in the blank. Which road am I walking? And then we can consider, what am I holding that the narrow way is asking me to release? What am I holding that the narrow way is asking me to release? And maybe that's pride, maybe it's fear, maybe it's control. Right? The grudge I've carried, the hurt I've been nursing, the resentment, the unforgiveness. It fits on the wide road. The narrow road, not so much. And so what am I holding that the narrow way is asking me to release? We could ask it like this: where in my life is God inviting me to travel lighter? Right, to let go of the baggage, to loosen my grip. And then what might it look like this week to choose the good way? Again, in that situation, in that relationship, in that disagreement, in that struggle. Right? Again, not easy, but good. What might it look like? Right? Even when it might cost me something. And then finally, to wrap up, what might it look like to walk out of here today choosing life with every step? For small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.